The following podcast is brought to you by the Pokemart. We've got what you need. Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I'm your host, Jake.
And I'm your guide, Josh.
And today, we're going to Saffron. Saffron? How do you say it?
I say Saffron.
Okay. I say Saffron more often than not. I don't know if I did that as a character choice or that's how for Rose or that's how I've always done it.
You did it as a joke and now it's going out that way.
I guess. Either way, that's where we're going. First, we have some pretty major Pokemon news, though. Josh, that big news came.
It did.
The big news.
We held off recording for a day because of the news, and definitely not because I didn't have notes ready yet.
No, definitely the first one, not the second one.
Right.
You're still getting us at the same time, but don't worry. We held off because of news.
That's right.
What is that news, Josh?
You know, it's Pokemon Sun and Moon stuff. The starters were revealed, they showed some gameplay, and they showed the cover art, so... Also showed the legendaries, because of that. And they're also in some of the gameplay footage for like 5 seconds.
Right. Yeah, like five. Like real quick.
They just show up at the end.
We know the region.
Is Alola.
Alola.
Yes.
I didn't know the name of it. Now I do. It's Hawaii.
It
looks real cool.
It
does
look
really cool. It's like an island.
I like how different the regions are starting to feel.
Yeah, this one feels much tighter, and I'm very excited about that. Because
but it's also like the whole environment of it is different. It's tropical.
Yeah. There's no like, it's just snowy in this one town.
Yeah. It's not like Johto, which is like, it's Kanto, but like different a little.
It's like definitely an island.
Yeah.
You know? So like, that's cool. There's like a volcano on it, I think. I saw a volcano.
Or like a
in
crater?
There. Something. Who knows? So let's talk about the start. Let's talk about the meat and the veg of this announcement. Who them starters?
We've got the grass starters, grass flying type. He's a little owl baby. He's I'm going to go ahead and say it, my second favorite Pokemon now. His name is Rowlet.
He's fine. I didn't fall in love with Rowlet like the rest of the entire internet.
He's got a little leaf bow tie.
He looks like Blathers.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He looks like he might be Blathers' little nephew, but he does not look like Blathers.
Someone just posted a picture of Blathers and him and says, don't talk to me and my son ever again.
Well, if I wasn't already committed to naming it Mr. Fancy, I would name it Blathers Jr.
What if it's a girl?
Ms. Fancy.
Ms. Fancy. That works.
Or I'll just name it Mr. Fancy anyway. Who cares? It's my game. It's my Pokemon.
I always play as a girl and name it Jake, so like, deal with it, everybody.
Next is the fire starter. It is a little kitten baby named Litten.
It's also fine. It's like whatever.
He's cool. I like him too. Or her.
He's like a cat. He's like a little cat. A grumpy little cat.
He is very grumpy. I kind of love that. And then there's the water starter. It's a sea lion named Popplio.
My sweet baby water puppy.
He's fine.
He's the best. He's so good. I fell in love immediately when I saw him.
That is exactly what happened when I saw Rowlet, so I get it.
Yeah, I like Rowlet, and I like Litten. I think this is the best group of starters we've had since, probably since Gen 2.
Yeah,
I'm going to say since Gen 2.
I don't love the Gen 3 starters.
I don't like the Gen 3 starters either.
I did not have a connection to any starter up until now since Gen 2.
I like Gen 6.
Oh, no, that's right, because there's my sweet baby Froakie is in there.
Yeah, I didn't love Chespin. And Froakie, I was on the fence about because I just don't love his Froakie's design. I think he gets cooler as he goes. But like, I love Fennekin. Fennekin is the business. But this is the first like group where I'm like, these are all good looking starters.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the evolutions, but I think I might hold off. I think I might actually hold off on this one.
I won't. I said that last time, but I can't. If they officially reveal it, I'm gonna look at it.
Last time I broke. I had to, I mean, it was like 3 days before X came out. Like, but this time I'm gonna try to hold off. Everyone's like, oh, what if the evolutions are ugly later and you picked the wrong one? It's like, well, to quote Shanna Maynor, you came out ugly and we still talk to you, don't we? So you just pick one and you love it and you be its best friend forever.
That's right.
I don't care if Popplio turns into a giant clown. I'm going to name him Papillon, and he's going to be my favorite.
Isn't Papillon a butterfly?
No, it's a type of dog.
Is it?
I think so. I Googled it. It's the name of an Astronautilus song.
I think it's butterfly, because there's, I'm going to say it wrong, but Vivillon is a butterfly Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it's just Papillon, but Vivillon.
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's an Astronautilus song, and it's also a movie starring Steve McQueen. My name convention this time is going to be Astronautilus references. So it's going to be...
Mine's
going to
be like, whatever that Pokemon looks like, and this Rowlet looks like a Mr. Fancy.
Are they all going to have honorifics? Or is there going to be a Dr. Big Cat?
No, if I get something like some new fish Pokemon or something that looks like Greg, I'm going to name it Greg. Like, that's just how it's going to go.
I'm very excited. All Astronautilus references, it's going to be fun. Can't wait. One of them's got to be good enough to be a Wondersmith. Because that's that name is the bomb.com.
Let's talk about the White Lion Zord that is the Sun Legendary.
Yeah, dude.
And the big flat circle bat that is the Moon Legendary.
Is it a bat? I wasn't sure. I wasn't able to tell.
It looks bat-ish. I don't have a picture of it. I have a page about the starters that has a little more information, and I'll read that in a minute.
But yeah, we get like 2 seconds and then the cover reveal. I don't like the Luna. I don't like the Moon.
I don't hate it. The more I look at it, the more I like it. I don't like that it makes a circle and is very flat. That I don't love.
It reminds me of a Yerk. I don't like it.
They both feel a little overdone to me. I'm sure I will love them anyway.
I love that lion. I love that white lion thing. I know.
It's just a white Pyroar.
But like it's like a mega white Pyroar.
What if it's just a mega Pyroar and the other one's mega Crobat?
That's ridiculous.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think he looks too much like Pyroar. He's just also
he
a does lion.
He just also has like a very pointy mane and is a lion. They both have like on their heads this weird purple area that I can't tell if it's like a window into space or if it's just a purple spot on their head.
I don't know. I didn't even notice. Let me do a Google. No, Siri, shut up.
Siri's like, oh, I have Pokemon information. Siri doesn't know anything about Pokemon.
Siri doesn't know anything, full stop. Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
I can't tell. The little bit that we saw of them in action did not reveal a whole lot.
I super don't like the Moonbat.
We don't know their names.
I that lion looks awesome. It's a Megazord. It's just
Well, the lion is going to attach to 100% Zygarde to make the Mega Lion Megazord.
Megazord, yeah.
The White Lion Megazord.
The White Lion Megazord. I'm getting Sun. This
I'm still going to get Moon. I'll get the Sun Legendary somehow. I'll probably buy both. I'm just going to buy both. I'm going to take that day off of work. I'm going to buy both.
I might take this day off, too. I think I'm also going to get whatever the new 3DS bundle is that comes out with it. Because my 3DS has a broken L button, and I want to get a new one anyway. And it'll probably not run very well on the old 3DSs, if I had to guess.
Probably not.
Anything else? Any other info on them? Or do you want to talk about what the...
Do you want me to read through this little bit? It's like 2 paragraphs for each starter about just general stuff about them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start with Rowlet because he's first in the order. So it's the Grass Quill Pokemon. It's 1 foot tall, weighs 3.3 pounds, is grass flying, will come with Overgrow. Just regular starter stuff.
Yeah.
Rowlet, the Grass Quill Pokemon, starts us off by being the first bird-based grass starter and one of the few Pokemon holding the grass flying dual type. Somebody else wrote this. This is on Nintendo Inquirer. We'll post the link.
Okay.
Swooping in with an adorable-looking leaf bow tie, it's specially noted as being able to move silently through the air, flying close before kicking with its talons. That said, it's also able to fire its feathers from a distance, each of which are actually part leaf.
Huh.
So that's where the grass type is.
This dude looks like a basketball to me. I don't know how he's super silent.
He's just real aerodynamic.
He's not, though. He's a big circle.
We've only seen him from the front. We don't know if he's spherical or he's kind of flat.
No, we definitely saw like the whole video of him.
I mean, he's definitely just a globe.
How he turned his head around and you freaked out about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a basketball. He's a cute little basketball.
He's a quiet little basketball.
I guess.
Other aspects noted are an ability to see in the dark, as well as being able to swivel its head 180 degrees. It also brings the first brand new attack of the generation in the form of leafage. That's really all that was said about it.
Yeah, we saw him attack in the trailer, and he just, like, this like green balls fly out at the other one.
Yeah, it probably just fires feathers off that are also part leaf. So it might be a dual-type grass flying move. if Flying Press was like them testing the waters with that.
Oh, that might be a new thing.
So it might be a grass move that also hits like a flying.
Right. That might be like the new gimmick is like dual type moves. That could be cool.
So Litten's up next. The Fire Cat Pokemon stands at 1'4", weighs 9.5 pounds, gets the Blaze ability. It's much more stoic, noted for keeping a level head and holding its emotions in. It seems a far cry from many of the fire starters before it.
He's a grump.
It's still noted as passionate, but with a logical bent befitting of a cat. With an oily fur that's highly flammable, Litten's fire attacks come from igniting its hairballs. By grooming itself, it stores up plenty of this material and is able to strike when needed.
Gross.
Also notable is its tendency to shed off all its old fur in a large blaze, a display that's sure to catch eyes and bring potential for a new attack. That could be cool.
That could also be cool. Pokemon-specific attacks could be a real cool thing.
Yeah.
I've been wanting that forever.
There have been a few, but then, like, as Pokemon went on, like, Bone Club and stuff were given to Lucario.
Right.
It was Marowak's move before. Yeah,
it was a big feature, but I've always wanted things that made the Pokemon seem unique aside from what they look like.
Yeah.
Because, like, other than that, it's just some numbers. And, like, types,
right.
You know? This could be exciting. Hit me with that sweet Popplio info.
Popplio is a sea lion Pokemon. Stands at 1'4", weighs 16.5 pounds.
He's so heavy. He's such a chunky baby.
He's dense.
He's so dense. I love him.
He gets the ability Torrent. It's a quick swimmer, able to reach swimming speeds of 25 miles per hour. It finds more comfort in water than on land. It's able to bounce around due to an ability to generate water balloons. So it just makes these big, like, water bubbles and bounces around.
Yeah.
It just comes out of his nose. It's just like snot bubbles.
It's not snot bubbles. It's water bubbles. And they're still
literally coming out of his nose. As my boy.
It could also be his
Rowlet
mouth.
Is in his artwork being captured in a bubble. By secreting these balloons from its nose, these booger balloons, it can come up with fun displays and quirky battle strategies. It's noted for being both determined and fun-loving, devoting its time to both being flashy and strong in a fight.
Yeah, and he doesn't move well on ground, but he's real good in the water. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm super happy that I like a water starter again. It's been so long. It's been since
this is
Generation
first,
2.
This is the first grass... No, it's not. This is the second grass starter that was like, yeah, that's my boy. The first one was Turtwig.
I love Bulbasaur, too.
I just like Bulbasaur, but he suffers from, for me, Papilio syndrome in being the worst of the three of his generation.
I like him more than I like Charmander, but I mean,
by worst, I mean the least best. I mean,
right.
Worse in the most positive
still
way.
Still like him.
Yeah.
But if there is more, you know, if you are comparing things, one has to be the worst.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. I like him better than I like Charmander. So I never. And then, like, again, I haven't liked any water starters since Totodile. Like,
yeah.
Any of them. Like, Froakie was the closest, but I still think it was weird that he was a little old man frog. And then, like.
It was more of a scarf than, like, an old beard.
It just looked like a beard to me. I don't know. And then, Turtwig was awesome, but none of the other grass starters have been any... Those have been consistently the worst.
I picked Snivy in Gen 5, but not because I liked
Nobody
it.
Wins Gen 5,
I didn't really like any of them, so... Like, I love Tepig, but I don't like anything after that.
I don't mind anything after that. I know you don't like them when they wear clothes, but I come from Digimon, where they turn into weird...
And I don't...
Oops, sorry, I swore.
And I don't like Oshawott because he's like an ice cream cone that turns into a Dialga, and I'm just
I don't know what he ends up as. It doesn't make any sense. Samurott is just a nonsense monster, but Popplio is a sweet baby boy. Look, he's a puppy. He looks like a puppy.
He does.
They're like, he's a sea lion, but he's got big floppy ears, and he's got a definite puppy face, and every time I'm like, am I just not seeing what everyone else is seeing?
No, he definitely has a puppy head.
And then I was like, no, he's a puppy. How can anyone not like him?
Yeah, the rest of him is a sea lion.
Yeah.
He definitely has a puppy head.
I don't care if he turns into just a giant clown. I love him. He's my sweet baby water puppy boy. I'm excited.
I am too.
I'm very excited about these starters. One last thing that I want to talk about is, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but the region itself, I'm very, very excited about it. Because like I said, everything seems closer. Everything seems like a smaller overall area. And I think that'll make it feel a lot better to me.
I don't know if that's the whole region now that you say that, because it's based on Hawaii, but this is only one island.
That would be awesome.
So this might be like where the main story of the game takes place, yeah. And then the rest of the islands might be post-game stuff, like, kind of like the Sevii Islands were.
Right. Oh, that could be real cool.
So that might be really cool stuff.
But like my biggest problem with the act of playing Pokemon is each town is like 9 people in it, and it's very, and I know it's that's not true, that's an over-exaggeration, yeah, like some are very big.
Especially from Gen 5 and 6.
Like, yeah, it's like some are very big, but like you go to any town in Gen 2, you know, and you're like, oh, there's 11 people here, this is cool. Like the big city's got 30 people, woo, hoo yeah. boy, you know?
Yeah, we'll talk about that today.
Yeah. Like, Saffron's the biggest city in Kanto.
But not by population.
But not by population. And also, like, it's just, like, 30 people. It's, like, not, it's not huge. But, yeah, it's, like, if everything's smaller together, it'll seem like communities instead of, like, towns and cities and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that. Also, I just like the idea that maybe you can go exploring in the jungle and stuff. I'm very excited about the possibilities of this game.
So there was another trailer. There was this one that had like the gameplay and the starter reveal. And then there was another one in Japan that was like a live action trailer of this kid moving from Japan to Hawaii, and he can't make any friends because he doesn't speak any English, so he's trying to learn, but it's going to be a while. And then Pokemon Sun and Moon comes out and he gets it, and he's like in the backseat of his car playing it, and he sees a kid from school out in the park, and you can see him like thinking about it, and then he just runs out of the car over to him, and he's like, Pokemon, and the other kid's like, yes. And it's the best.
I gotta check this trailer out. It sounds amazing.
But there was some gameplay footage in that. That's, I think, where the name of the region came from.
Yeah, I didn't know it. I only saw the other trailer.
So that's Alola. I think the professor's name is Hala. H-A-L-A.
Hala back.
Hala is a tree in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So
everything tracks.
So that
I wish
tracks.
It was a girl. We've only had one girl professor.
Yeah, you can see him. I posted a picture to Shannon. I'll post it on ours as well. You can see him in the background. He's got the white professor jacket on and some shorts and no shirt.
Yeah, he's just a sexy man.
Yeah.
He's just another sexy man.
He's more of like a rugged kind of handsome and sexy. More than like what Sycamore was.
Yeah, Sycamore was like...
Was like Prince
a very
sexy.
Pretty man. Yeah. I just want like we've had a bunch of like dudes. I just want a lady.
We've only had one lady.
Yeah, in Gen 5, right?
Yep, Professor Juniper.
I didn't play that. I didn't play Gen 5. But still, I don't think the ratio is fair.
I think we should get a cute little old lady.
Or just like a sexy lady who's also super smart. Like just give me something.
I want a cute old lady to match cute old Professor Oak.
Link's grandma should be...
Link's grandma, the Pokemon professor.
I would love it. She could have been Hala. Anyone could be Hala.
Yeah.
Hala back. Pokemon?
Hala at your boy.
Hala at your boy. Can we trademark that? Can we trademark that right now? Guys, TM, TM, TM.
I'm tweeting it. Hang on. All right. Tweeted from PWT Podcast that is now copywritten to us.
And I retweeted it in case anything happens to the... Unless Pokemon tries to shut that account down.
I'm going to screenshot it now that you've said that.
Holla at your boys.
Done. We own Holla at your boy.
Anything else? Anything else we should talk about before we move on?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's get into the main feature.
Dig into the meat of this episode.
It's time to go to Saffron.
Welcome to Saffron City, shining golden land of commerce.
A.K.A. the Shining Big City.
The Shining Big City.
This is the biggest town in Kanto. Not by population, though. I think Celadon holds that honor.
It does.
But this is the capital? Is it safe to say that this is what the capital would be?
I think this is the capital of Kanto, is Saffron City.
It's, I remember getting lost here a lot as a child.
It seems like this is where most of the jobs are.
Yeah. You work, you commute here.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have a flying Pokemon.
Or a bike.
Hopefully you're a millionaire and can afford a bike. Or your job provides you with it. So just tell me a little bit about this layout.
All right, well, it's surrounded by trees with exits on all four sides. Exits and entrances. Gates. If you will.
Yes, I will. I will.
It is packed with buildings and houses, separated into four distinct streets, with the second street from the top, because it's four horizontal streets running down the city.
Yeah.
The second one from the top is kind of split up by the Silph Co. building.
Yeah, that's a big building right in the middle there.
I named that one in my notes. That's Split Street.
I like that.
That's the only one I named.
We'll figure out the names as we go. I like Split Street, though. That's a nice name for that. East Split Street and West Split Street.
Yep. Silphco is easily the largest building here. It's located squarely in the middle. The gym and the fighting dojo are in the northeast corner. The Pokemon Center is in the southwest. Oh, I just left out Pokemart. Like, the words Pokemart are just not typed here.
That's on West Split Street.
And the Pokemart is on East Split Street.
You're right. Did I have mentioned I'm bad at directions? I think I might have in the past. There's also another building up in the northwest corner.
You're looking at the Gen 4 map, right? That is the train station. That's the Magnet train station.
To get to Johto.
And you ride that to Goldenrod. We'll talk about that.
Gotcha. Where is the train?
I think it's underground.
Okay, good. I was like, I'm not seeing it.
If I remember correctly, you either have to go downstairs to board the train, or it's a headcanon of mine that when you walk through the door, you go downstairs to the train station.
There's a lot else, so I don't...
There is. Let's talk about the people.
Okay.
The population fluctuates a lot. In Gen 1, there are 50 people here. That's excluding the Team Rocket members who eventually leave when you run them out.
Okay.
In Gen 2, the fighting dojo is closed, and Silphco gets locked down, so there's only 35 people.
Yikes. That's what I'm thinking of, the population. I didn't know it was that big in Gen 1.
Gen 3 fluffs it up to 63, which makes it the second most populated city next to Celadon City. And then Gen 4, that goes down to 47. The dojo is open again, but only has one guy in it, and Silphco access is still restricted, which makes up the almost 20 people difference.
Yeah. Anyone here that we need to talk about?
I feel like there are some
very important people before we get to the gym and Silphco. Those are the two major places.
There's a few things I have written down here.
Okay.
First of all is just how you get into the city, which is blocked by thirsty, rude guards who won't let you through.
On all sides.
On all four sides. So the way you get by them is in Gen 1, you give them some water from the vending machine on the roof of Celadon Department Store.
Right.
I think you can give them soda and lemonade, too.
I think so, but I don't know why you would spend that much money on jerks.
I always gave them water because it's like 50.
Right.
50 bucks. Well, not bucks. That's a lot for water. But
50 Pokebucks.
50 Pokebucks. You give it to one, and he shares it with the rest.
Yeah.
Now they're all hydrated, and it will let you through.
8 guards, because there's usually 2 per gate, right? Am I making that up?
It's just 4. There's one.
It's just one? Okay. Yeah. I made it up then. Sorry, I'm a liar.
But in Gen 3, that won't work. You actually have to get a new key item, which is tea, from the old lady that lives in the Celadon Mansion, where you get Eevee.
Right.
She gives you some tea, and then you give that to the guards.
You carry a hot tea.
It's like in a cup.
You're careful.
Throw it in your backpack.
Yeah, sure.
But then they'll let you in. And then down in the southeastern part of the town, there is a house resided in by Mr. Psychic. When you speak to him, he claims that he can really tell with his psychic abilities that you want him to give you a gift. So he gives you TM29, which contains the move Psychic.
Okay.
That's all he does. He does that in every single game he's in. All 4.
Mr. Psychic. That's his only job.
Mr. Psychic, I have this. This disc you can slap on your Pokemon's forehead. Then there's Copycat.
I thought her name was Mimic. It's Copycat.
It's Copycat. In the games, it's Copycat. I don't know what it is elsewhere.
I didn't watch the anime. Womp womp.
I thought you said you weren't going to do that anymore. I didn't expect you to because I thought you said you weren't going to.
You're right.
Anymore because we do them separate now.
You're right. I forgot that I did that. It's been so long. Guys, there's a new rule. New sheriff in town. No anime.
Well, still anime, but it's separate.
It's a whole extra thing. It's on Saturdays. We're late on the newest.
That'll be up this week.
We had a busy week last week.
But in Gen 1 and 3, Copycat's house is located on the western side of the northmost street. When spoken to, she appears to repeat everything the player is saying back to them. It's really confusing in Gen 1 especially, because it'll say, like, your name, like you're talking, and then have text.
Right.
But keeps, like, it's only her half of that conversation.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I remember kind of freaking out about it because I was like, what? I'm not saying anything. What are you... Like, I'm just dots. Don't put words in my mouth.
If that. Like, when you're playing as Red, there's not even dots because you don't get that part of the conversation.
Yeah.
If you do give her a Pokeball, she will give you TM31 in Gen 1, which is Mimic.
That's why I thought her name was Mimic.
Or in Fire Red and Leaf Green, she will offer to teach the move to a Pokemon because that is no longer a TM.
Okay.
So she becomes a move tutor.
Gotcha.
In Generations 2 and 4, her house was actually demolished to build the train station, so I think she moved down onto West Split Street.
There is another house here. It's the only other house that with you can go into.
Like with a door on it. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's hers. But she lost her Polka doll, the one that Red gave her 3 years ago, which has been found by a member of the Pokemon fan club in Vermilion City. So if you go get that and then bring it back to her, she gives you a pass so you can ride the magnet train. Because when they tore her house down, they gave her a lifetime pass, but I guess she's never going to use it because they tore her house down.
Right.
So she's like, you take this. I hate them.
I hate them so much. This is for you.
So then we can go on the magnet train, which is in the northwest corner of the city in Generations 2 and 4. Runs from Saffron to Goldenrod in Johto. It travels at a crazy 340 miles per hour.
Radbug's faster.
Which is 550 kilometers per hour.
That's very fast.
Very fast.
It's that weird future Pokemon technology, but their computer, their Skype machines still have handsets.
Right, but there's no TVs in Gen 1.
Right.
They can store animals and balls and put them in a computer.
It's just the way that technology works.
It's actually out of service when you first get there, unless you go to the power plant and solve that whole thing. We talked about that in our power plant episode.
Yeah.
But after you do that, the power comes back on. You can ride the magnet train.
Everything's fine from there.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, Lieutenant Surge can be found here. He will offer, this is not for his phone number, but he will offer to trade you a Pikachu. We may have talked about this when we talked about Lieutenant Surge. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But he'll offer to trade you a Pikachu. Its name is Volty. It's a very special Pikachu in that it originates from a different language from the one that your game is in. So if you're in a Japanese game, it's an English Pikachu. If you're in an English game, it's a French Pikachu. And I don't know what that's trying to say about Lieutenant Surge. Japanese having an English Pikachu, that makes sense because he's the Lightning American.
Right.
But him having a French one is like...
Maybe he was deployed over there.
Maybe, and he was
deployed in Kalos.
While he was out...
In the war.
There are wild Pikachu in Kalos.
There are.
That must be it.
Pokemon needs to, put out, a book about what's going on.
There's a lot of weird references early on. I think they stopped now. Like, the only ones left are holdovers from, Gen 1 and 2 of, the real world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about it in the Pewter City episode. There's, the Challenger and the date we landed on the moon.
Yep.
It's just in there, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not where this is.
But they talk about in, I don't know if I took the note on it in my Silph-Co thing, but they talk about having a division of Silph-Co in Russia, actual real world Russia. And then Mew is sighted in South America. And
yeah, that's the only one I remember other than the Challenger stuff is we went to South America. Where is that? What? By the way, guys, the next game should be Russia. How cool would that be?
Russia's very pretty. A lot of good architecture. That could be a real good-looking region.
It could be a good-looking region.
Australia, if you want a whole desert region with a little bit of civilization on the edges.
And if you want your Pokemon to all be poison monsters.
Every Pokemon is half poison type.
Except the birds. They're half murder type.
Yes, normal murder type.
Yeah.
So next up is the Fighting Dojo. That's up next to the gym.
It used to be a gym.
It was formerly the second gym in Saffron City, but it was removed from the league after being defeated in a competition by the current gym, Saffron City Gym.
So does this mean that once a year they have a battle, or does this mean that WCW, it just got beat too bad?
What I think happened is that Viridian City Gym opened up, and the Pokemon League was like, we only can have 8, and there's 2 in Saffron.
So one of you has to go. Okay.
You guys should battle to see who it is. And the Fighting Dojo was way...
For Psychic? Yeah. No,
yeah, it was not ready for that. The trainers here specialize in surprise...
Fighting types.
Fighting type Pokemon. There are 4 or 5 trainers in here. They're in a line. They fixed it in Fire Red and Leaf Green in that they put them up against the walls, so you have to go through and fight all of them.
So you can't just go around and fight the boss.
But in Red and Blue, you can go around. You only have to fight the last one and then the boss,
because
the last one is, blocking it.
Right.
But if you get through all of them, you kill the boss, who is Karate Master Kyo.
You don't kill him, you just beat his Pokemon.
Kill him. You kill his Pokemon.
You have to, here in the Cobra Kai Dojo, you gotta kill him. Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Kyo? Kyo?
Cobra Kyo.
Kiyo. Or in Fire Red and Leaf Green, it's Koichi.
But I like Kyo better.
It's Kyo.
I like Kyo better because I can call him the Cobra Kyo Dojo.
After you defeat him, you get a choice to pick either Hitmonlee or Hitmonchan as your reward. Because they don't have gym badges anymore because they're not
right.
A gym.
So they have to give you rare Pokemon.
So they give you these rare Pokemon that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yet.
In future games, are they wild?
I feel like somewhere you can catch Tyrogue in the wild.
I had a Tyrogue in Gen 4.
He gives you one in that.
Oh, and Soul,
he's
Soul
in
Silver?
A cave.
You're right.
And he's like, here's a Tyrogue.
And then you breed that two times. And then the easiest way to get Hitmontop is just give him to the daycare and level
right.
him up that way so he has no IVs one way or the other.
Yeah, Hitmontop's a pain in the butt. So in Gen 2, this dojo is closed because Kyo is off training at Mount Mortar. In Gen 4, there's a different person either in Mount Mortar, but I think that's still Kyo.
No, that's, so I think that's him.
So there's a different guy in the dojo then because it's still open because this is where the gym leaders gather for their rematches.
Right.
So there is a guy here, and it is open, but it's only one guy. I don't even think he fights you. I think he's just like, this is a dojo
he's just
for
like,
fighting.
He's like a manager.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's the proprietor of the dojo, not necessarily a fighter man himself.
Yeah, that's it for the dojo. I have a picture on my personal Twitter way back of the dojo.
Yeah, hop into his pictures.
It's full of all the gym leaders. It's real crowded.
Every single one of them is there. It's crazy.
That I beat them all up and got all that sweet experience points. So let's cut into the heart of Saffron City.
Okay.
Let's jump into Sylph Company headquarters.
Okay. Is Sylph a word that means anything?
I don't think so. As far as I can tell, it's a name.
Okay. Also, this is for the listeners. Anybody else call it Slifco until you were like in your 20s? Or is that just me?
This is one of the ones I got right.
I just called it Slifco because that's just the way I read it real quick the first time, and I was like, that must be it.
Slifco is the leading manufacturer of Pokemon-related goods and technology.
They were number one.
Including Pokeballs, medicine, like potions and stuff like that. And the TMs, they make Pokemon moves on a disc.
How? I don't know.
I have no idea. They are also most likely in charge of running the Pokemarts in Kanto, Johto, and the Sevii Islands. Slifco, because of this, because they have all the money, like they are the economy of Pokemon.
Essentially,
kind of.
Well, if you boil it down, the basis of the economy is based on Pokemon fights.
It is, but this is where that money ends up.
Because Pokemon,
whenever you buy something, Slifco gets
that
money. Especially if they run the Pokemarts, because then all of that goes to Slifco.
Just goes right back to them. Because, like, the basis of the economy is that, like, you and your Pokemon fight other people and their Pokemon for everything. Like, when you do a battle, someone money changes hands, right?
Yeah, every time.
All of those Pokemon are in a Pokeball. And who makes the Pokeballs? Slifco.
Yep.
So, they're big business, big government. Because there isn't really a government in Kanto.
No, the Elite Four is, like, the closest we have, but still nothing like a
but
government.
But even that's not...
They don't do anything...
No, they just have the cushiest
like,
gig.
Yeah, they just hang out and battle people. It's just like a tournament. It's like a football league.
Right.
Or like a sports league, I guess. Not specifically just football.
Right.
But, so I guess Slifco is your government. They run everything.
They run everything. Hey, so in... Was it Gen 6 that there's a Pokeball factory?
Yes.
Is that Slifco?
I don't know. Because as far as I know, Slifco does not reach outside of Johto.
Hmm.
But I could be wrong.
I wish it did.
Because I think it's just called the Pokeball
Factory. Maybe it's Silfco's, Kalos Pokeball Factory.
Yeah.
It's just where they, because they can't ship them. You know, that'd be crazy. Expensive. Not like they have the money or anything.
Right.
You know, but.
You got to put a Pokeball inside a Pokeball to ship it.
Right.
And then.
Pokeballs all the way down.
It's a whole mess.
It's a bunch of, you open it up, it's a Matryoshka doll of Pokeball.
I was going to say Babushka doll, because that's just all I call those.
That's
now.
What I call it most of the time, too. It's babushka dolls. Babushka means grandmother, by the way.
Yep. Yep, it does.
It's a grandma doll.
But they are a constant target of Team Rocket because of this.
Oh boy, yeah.
Having the Sylph Scope stolen, and then having this whole headquarters, and also the city taken over by Team Rocket. Like, when you first get here, there's rockets in the streets, they're blocking the gym, they're blocking Copycat's house... That was like restricting access to places.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Very crazy. And then you go inside and it's this like spooky takeover music.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to take, it doesn't seem like Team Rocket's trying to take their money, just their stuff.
Yeah, but they want specifically
here,
one item.
They're here not just for that item, but for the plans to make more.
Right.
Now we'll talk about that in a minute. But the building itself... is an 11-floor maze of warp tiles and locked doors, crawling with Team Rocket members. Some of the scientists that work for Silph-Co have actually defected to Team Rocket.
Well, of course, they're cowards.
Because they're like, oh god, we're being taken over, or, we better join the bad guys.
Or were they just in the whole time?
Or they could have been inside guys that got Team Rocket into the building. That's actually probably
it's
more likely.
Rockets all the way down. They're everywhere. They're like cockroaches. If you see one, there's a thousand more.
So to get through, you have to navigate the warp tile maze. You have to find a card key to open locked doors. I'm not going to go through this whole thing because
that would be insane.
This podcast is not a walkthrough. It's like a tour.
Yeah. So,
but along the way, you have to battle your rival.
In Silph-Co. I forgot about that.
He is there because of Team Rocket. I think he says like he followed Team Rocket here.
We're talking about Blue, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't think you go in it for very long. And do you in Heartgold Soulsilver?
You can't get past like the first floor.
Right.
So he has Blue or whatever you named him always on his team in Red, Blue, Fire Red, and Leaf Green, a level 37 Pidgeot, and a level 35 Alakazam. But now his team is starting to come together and cover its own weaknesses, so he's got a bunch of stuff shifting around depending on what starter that he chose. So if he chose Squirtle, he has Growlithe at level 38, and Execute at level 35, and a level 40 Blastoise.
Okay.
If he chose Charmander, the Execute gets bumped up to level 38. He has a level 35 Gyarados, and his Charizard is level 40. And then if he chose Bulbasaur, the Gyarados is the level 38, and then he has a level 35 Growlithe and a level 40 Venusaur.
Okay.
With me so far?
Yeah, it's just musical chairs with the thing.
So this is all different in Pokemon Yellow.
Okay.
Because he starts with Eevee.
Right.
Pidgeot is out. No more Pidgeot.
Oh, I like Pidgeot.
Replaced it with a level 38 Sandslash.
I don't know if that's better.
I don't either.
I don't think that's better.
It's different.
It is.
But I don't know if it's better. I don't know if it's worse. But I don't know if it's better.
I'm not a huge fan of Sandslash. I have nothing against them. I just never really use them.
This is worse at this point in the game, is Alakazam is not fully evolved yet. It's just a Kadabra.
Okay.
So if he ended up with a Vaporeon, and we went over how to control what he evolves his Eevee into.
Yeah, depending on the fights in the beginning of the game. Yeah.
So if he gets Vaporeon, that is level 40, and then you have a level 35 Magneton and a level 37 Ninetales.
Okay.
Because the types are different. There's no fire in this triangle, so it's replaced with electric type.
Right.
No, there is fire. Excuse me. There's no grass.
There's no grass.
So that's an electric type this time. So if he gets Jolteon, he has the level 35 Ninetales and level 37 Cloyster. And then if he gets Flareon, there's a level 35 Cloyster and a level 37 Magneton.
Again, I don't know if Cloyster is better than Gyarados.
I don't think it is.
I don't think
Cloyster was really any good until it got Shell Smash in Gen 5.
Which this is not.
No.
For sure not.
So after you beat him up, he leaves. He says, like, I chased Team Rocket here, but now that you're here, I can go. Something along those lines.
Well, you just
lines.
Beat his team.
He's like, I guess I can't stop him with a team of fainted Pokemon.
Why didn't you guys team up? How cool would it be if for one night only...
That would be very
once
cool.
in a lifetime. Not never enough, before, never again.
Not enough team-ups. There are team-ups now. Like, in HeartGold and SoulSilver, you team up with Lance when you storm the Team Rocket hideout.
Yeah, you team up with Lance, and then in Gen 6, you team up with whoever the other one of you is you don't pick. But they all those seem, like, Lance one's fine. That one's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the other one seems kind of forced. Like
They're like that in, I think it's Platinum, like that generation, where you'll just go into an area and there will be someone there waiting to be your partner.
Yeah, like either Dawn. Not
no,
not
there's
Dawn.
Just, like, new characters. Like in
I know
the forest.
Barry is, like, your rival, and he's, like, very impatient and everything.
Yeah.
And he's always teaming up with you. And then whoever the girl is, Pearl?
Hilda.
No, that's Gen 5.
You're right. Pearl.
No, Dawn.
Dawn. It is Dawn.
I thought for some reason Dawn was...
I was like, is it Dawn or is it May? I don't remember what generation
May
is.
May is Gen 3.
May is Gen 3. So after you beat him, there is another person in here, an employee of Silph-Co.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, thanks for coming in to rescue us. Really appreciate it. Here's a Lapras.
Yeah, just hands you a Lapras.
Just a whole Lapras.
Hopefully you have room on your team or else it's gone.
Have to go back to a Pokemon Center, deposit a Pokemon, come all the way back, and get Lapras.
Yeah. And
they fixed that in Fire Red and Leaf Green. It'll just go to your PC if your team is full.
Okay.
Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Continue on the path. You get to the boardroom. I think this room is like one or two warps away. It's not far from the boardroom.
Okay.
You get up there, and now you have to battle Giovanni, who has the president of Silph-Co, President Silph himself, locked in his office and is negotiating with him. And if this was not 8-bit Game Boy graphics, he'd probably be all beat up in the chair.
Tied to the chair. You got a black eye.
Just like a little bit trickle of blood running down his nose.
Giovanni's got his sleeves rolled up. He's got his jacket's off. His sleeves rolled up. He's got all these Yakuza tattoos.
Oh, this 10-year-old boy walks in. He's like, hey.
Stop it, mister. I'm here to beat you with my Pokemans.
Here's my giant fat turtle.
Blastoise Hydro Pump. And he's like, oh, no. I've made a mistake, and this 10-year-old's here to kill me.
His team is as follows. In red, blue, fire red, and leaf green, he has a level 37 Nidorino, level 35 Kangaskhan, level 37 Rhyhorn, and a level 41 Nidoqueen. And in yellow, it's the same, but you replace the Kangaskhan with a Persian, because he has a Persian in the anime.
Right.
Then after you beat him, they leave. He's like, all right, all my Pokemon are down. All your Pokemon are alive still. So you could just kill me with Hydro Pump.
Right.
Or lots of vines or
fire. Or just like have your Pokemon tip onto me. You know, if you got like.
If it's Blastoise?
Yeah.
That roly poly Gen 1 Blastoise?
That dude is dense.
That bouncy ball with stubby arms?
Yeah, man.
That's my jam. I love Fat Blastoise.
Fat Blastoise and Fat Pikachu are my favorite things that came out of those original goofy sprites.
So they leave, and President Sylph gives you a Master Ball, which is the item that they were trying to steal the plans for.
Because if you guys are somehow unaware, a Master Ball catches Pokemon automatically.
Except in Gen 1, there's like a 1% chance that it'll fail.
Really?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to anyone listening? Let us know.
It never happened to me.
Never happened to me.
But oh man.
I would be furious.
One of my friends, let's talk about Master Balls for a second. Okay. One of my friends growing up used his on a random Slowbro.
Okay.
And I'm curious what other people have maybe mistakenly used their Master Ball. I think I used my first one on Articuno, because I didn't know any better.
I used mine on, it might have been a legendary bird, or it was Mewtwo. It was one of the
two. Yeah, because I read afterwards, save that for Mewtwo. I didn't know about Mewtwo at the time. When I encountered Articuno, I was like, what is this thing? It had a sprite in the field.
Yeah.
So I caught it. What was your first Master Ball Pokemon? Send them in.
Yeah, let us know. Hashtag those Masterclass.
Yeah, hashtag Masterclass. Just a Pokemon, hashtag Masterclass.
Yeah.
So in Generations 2 and 4, because of Team Rocket's past attack, security has been increased, which restricts your access to any building above the first floor. But one of the security guards will give you an upgrade when you talk to him. There's an upgrade. Like the item that you use to evolve Porygon.
I imagine upgrade, because that would be, what, 99, 2000 that Gen 2 came out?
Yes.
So I imagine him handing a stack of floppy disks rubber banded together. Here's an upgrade, kid.
Yeah, now the artwork for it now is like a little box with a hard drive in it, but it's a clear box. You can see the disk inside.
Okay.
And then the dubious disk, which is for Porygon Z, is a purple box with a disk in it. That one is Virus. We'll talk about those.
That's a good Pokemon spotlight to do later. Because they don't really come up anywhere.
Yeah, so we'll do the Porygon family. We have the first two planned. Those are coming, or the first one is coming pretty soon.
This month.
Yeah.
At some point.
So look forward to that.
Yeah.
In Gen 4, you can go in the elevator, but it's broken. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
But if you bring a Rotom with you as the Pokemon following you, first in your party.
Yeah.
You can use the elevator to access a secret room.
Really?
In which you can change Rotom's forms with the lawnmower and the refrigerator.
So is this just a room hidden in Sylph Co. with a broken refrigerator?
It has a refrigerator and a lawnmower.
Washing machine and a lawnmower.
And a fan.
And a stove.
Oven.
Yeah.
Yep.
What room is this supposed to be practically?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
And if you come back after beating Red in Generation 4, Hoenn champion Steven Stone is chilling out in the lobby and he will let you pick one of the Hoenn starters.
Those are the Gen 3?
That's Torchic, Treecko, or Mudkip.
Mwah.
Yeah.
Mwah,
just
mwah,
pick
mwah.
Torchic. He's the cutest.
Yeah. Treecko? Not the other one?
Treecko
sucks.
He got his arms out.
I hate Treecko so much. I think of all the starters, he might be the one I hate the most. You know what? I'm planting my flag right here. Treecko's the worst starter for me, for Jake Mason. That's the worst one. We never did worse than Treecko.
I kind of like Treecko, so I'm not going to flag him as the worst. I'll rank them in my free time at some point.
That would be a good episode that we could do.
Yeah.
A bonus episode. we can do later.
We'll rank them individually and then, like average it out.
Yeah, come together one and list. Make a master list. Anyway.
That is it. That is all I've got for Silphco, which means it's time to challenge the Saffron City Pokemon
Champ. Oh, yeah. So we kicked the door in. Or do we say something at the outside? It's been so long since we've done a gym.
I don't think so. I didn't write anything down for that.
Because I know it says, like, Sabrina, the whatever. We talk about that when we talk to Sabrina.
Yeah, we'll kick a door in. We'll come
kick
in.
The door in.
Clyde's like, whoa, champion Megan.
Easy, bro. What are you doing?
Bust your way in here.
And you're like, I'm here to fight some psychics. And he's like, well, he's joke's like,
well,
on you.
There's this tiny room that has me in it, and there's a warp tile here, keeping with the tradition, the weird tradition. Because let's go back to Silphco for a second. No stairs or anything.
No.
Just warp tiles.
Yeah.
That's how you get around.
That's insane that they have that, but no, like,
this
TVs.
Gym is the same way. It's a grid. It's a 3x3 grid of rooms that you can only get to via warp tiles.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to solve the puzzle for you.
I got lost in here a lot. Like, as recently as when I did the Soul Silver version, I got very lost.
Yeah, it's really easy to, like, just get mixed up. Because all the rooms kind of look the same.
Yeah.
Like, some of the warp tiles are more toward the middle, and then some of them are out on the edge, I think, just to kind of break it up a little bit.
Right.
But still, like, that's the only two kinds
yeah.
that there are. Seven of the rooms have junior trainers in them. I didn't write levels or Pokemon or anything. They're psychic types, probably around level 30, 35.
Yeah, comparable to Silphco because you just had to be there. So.
So there's the first room with Clyde, and then in the middle is the gym leader, Sabrina, just waiting for people to solve her riddle.
She must get awful lonely in that room.
I don't think she does. We'll talk about Sabrina.
Okay.
I love Sabrina. So
okay.
The gym is completely consistent throughout all four games. Like, the graphics change, but the layout is always exactly the same.
And it's not full. It's not like there's nine, or it's not like eight trainers in here and the entrance room. There's, like, Sabrina and, like, three or four.
Every other room has a trainer.
Every room does have a mm-hmm. trainer.
Yeah, there's seven junior trainers.
Dang.
And Sabrina. So you solve the puzzle, get to the middle, battle Sabrina, who we'll talk about separately in a second. Beat Sabrina, and she rewards you with the Marsh Badge.
Mash Badge?
It's a mash.
When I tell you to put a body in a mash, you put a body in a mash badge.
I don't think a body would fit. It's just
it's a
small
little,
pin.
It's a very little.
This allows the move Rock Smash to be used outside of battle in Fire Red and Leaf Green, and all Pokemon up to level 70 will obey you if you have this badge.
Okay. Cool. Is there a fake this raises X?
Not for this one.
Not for this one? Are those only real? Was that ever confirmed as real?
I think so.
Okay.
But it was so negligible. Like, it wasn't a big difference.
Right.
That, like, I think they just got rid of it later.
Because they mentioned it in the Pokemanga, which I still got to read the second volume of. But they mentioned, like, the Boulder Badge ups your attack. And, like,
yeah.
I imagine this would up your special attack. No, that'd probably be the Lieutenant Surge's badge.
Yeah, and special was one stat.
Right.
So this one didn't do anything. It's only five stats if you're not counting HP.
Right. Womp womp.
I don't know. It was a neat feature. They tried, and it didn't stick.
No. I like the idea.
I do, too.
But you would need to figure it out
better
to implement it.
She also gives you a TM, like all other gym leaders. In Red, Blue, and Yellow, it's TM46, which contains Psywave. Fire Red and Leaf Green is TM04, which is Calm Mind. And Heart Gold and Soul Silver is TM48, which is Skill Swap. I have a vague knowledge of all of these, if you have any questions.
Psywave is just a very powerful psychic attack.
I had to look that one up. I had no idea this is how a Psywave worked. There's a formula, which I'm not going to recite, but it does random damage based on your level.
Okay.
So it starts off like Seismic Toss or Nightshade, which does damage equal to your level, but adds a modifier of randomly 0.5 all the way up to 1.5. times your level, and does that amount of damage.
Okay.
I didn't know it worked that way. I thought it was just a middle-of-the-road psychic move. Like, not
right.
quite as powerful as psychic, but better than Confusion.
Right. Skill Swap, does that trade your attack and defense?
Swaps abilities with the target.
Okay. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, there is a move that does that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
Because it's like, I had it on my Shuckle, and I never got to use it. Because it's like, you swap your defenses, and Shuckle's defenses are crazy, but it can't attack for crap.
Right. So it goes back. It goes the other way now,
yeah.
where its attack is crazy, but now if it takes a hit, it's,
yeah,
it's
just
done.
You just, like, crumble something real quick.
And then Calm Mind raises yours. Both special stats? Maybe just special attack, but I think it's both.
Okay.
Like I said, vague knowledge. So let's TikTok Sabrina.
Okay.
Originally, she was referred to as the master of psychic Pokemon, but in Gen 4, they changed it to the mistress of psychic Pokemon.
Okay. Not necessary, but okay.
She has had psychic abilities since she was a small child, which were discovered when she accidentally bent a spoon.
So she must love Abra's.
Oh, she does. We'll talk about
that. Talk about that in a minute.
She prefers not to battle. She actually says she dislikes battling, but she has the ability to communicate with her Pokemon telepathically, which gives her the edge.
Yeah, because she doesn't have to call out her attacks. You don't know what to you don't know what to
prepare for. Yeah. She may also have a limited ability to see into the future, claiming to have foreseen the arrival of another strong challenger 3 years later, which is alluding to...
Does she say that
Gold, Silver, and Crystal? I think she says that in Gold, Silver, and Crystal. Like, 3 years ago, I foresaw you arriving.
Oh, okay.
Or something. But, like, 3 years ago, I foresaw recording this Pokemon World Tour episode. Like, anyone can say
that. Anyone can say that, yeah. She doesn't like battling, but she's the gym leader.
That's why her maze is so messed up.
Because she doesn't want you to get
there. That's why I don't
think
she gets lonely. She talks to her Pokemon in her brain, and it's just, like, doesn't want to battle, but... is a gym leader, because who else in the city is qualified?
Right, because she's just too good at it. Yeah. No one can depose her.
Not that no one else is qualified. Like, Kyo could do it, but Sabrina is there.
Right.
So she is like, I'm better than him. I might as well just do it.
Might as well be me. Who better than Sabrina?
Make it the hardest to get to me.
Yeah.
After she is defeated in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can find her on the dock of the SS Aqua in all of Vine City in Johto. At any time on Fridays and ask her for her phone number, and then you can call her on Sunday afternoon to arrange a rematch.
Those are so crazy to me. They don't have any hints as to when you have to do these things.
No. There are, like, NPCs that you can talk to that'll be like, sometimes Sabrina's at the dock at this time, or stuff like that.
Right, but then, like, when to call them to get a battle? Yeah. Like, that's random.
If you call them and it's not... it's not the time for a battle, I think they tell you.
Okay.
I think she'll be like, try calling me on Sunday when I'm not busy or something like
that. Okay, that makes sense then.
But it's like getting Blue's phone number is ridiculously crazy.
Yeah.
I've gotten them all, but like I had to wake up early a couple. I had to set an alarm so I could like call Jasmine or somebody and be like, hey, go to the thing so I can fight you later.
Right.
Because once they get there, they just wait for you to show up.
Gotta catch them all. You gotta be there.
This is my favorite bit. In Black 2 and White 2, outside of the World Tournament, which we're going to do a whole separate series probably of stuff on, because there's just so much.
Yeah, there's a lot.
She appears in these games as an actress in the PokéStar Studios. She plays Magic Queen Belelba, if that's how you say that. B-E-L-E-L-L-B-A.
Belelba.
Belelba.
That's kind of a play on, I think, the Wicked Witch's real name, which is Alphaba.
Okay, that makes sense.
Something to that effect. Yeah. It's similar to the Wicked Witch's actual name.
That character is the villainess in the Mystery Doors of the Magical Land series of movies that you can shoot.
Okay.
I never played PokéStar Studios, so I don't know how it works. But knowing that Sabrina, however many years in the future Black 2 and White 2 are, decided to be an actor.
Right? I like that.
I like that a lot.
That means that in canon, she's probably not a gym leader anymore. She moved on.
Probably not. She is in the gym leader tournaments, though.
Well, because I think at that point, like, anyone... Yeah, they didn't, like, make up new gym leaders for it because they were active duty. So maybe it's like,
right.
You know, anyone in this town, anyone who could make it, which is just all the ones that you knew about.
That could be. I love a world tournament. I just hope something like it comes back.
I hope so.
I just love it when Pokemon connects to itself.
Yeah.
So when you bring all the old stuff back in, and that's kind of your gimmick for Pokemon 20.
That's what they said was you know, it all comes together in Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
So.
Better be talking about a world tournament. All right, so here are Sabrina's Pokemon. Red, Blue, Fire Red, and Leaf Green. She has, when you battle her for a gym badge... a level 38 Kadabra, a level 37 Mr. Mime, a level 38 Venomoth. I shrugged. I don't know why she has a Venomoth.
Type coverage?
There's no psychic type on Venomoth. I think it knows, like, confusion?
I don't know. That's a weird one.
It is. And a level 43 Alakazam. In yellow version, she has Abra, Kadabra, and Alakazam, all level 50. I don't think in the anime that she ever actually uses Alakazam, but it's been so long, I could be wrong.
I haven't watched those episodes yet.
Her
episode
is just very weird.
I watched the episode in between them because I was like, when we get to Saffron, I'll watch the other one. And then I didn't this time.
Now we're not doing that.
We're not doing that because we decided to make a whole series about the anime.
Yep.
thanks to our very generous patrons.
Gold, silver, and crystal. She has a level 46 Espeon, a level 46 Mr. Mime, and a level 48 Alakazam. In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, when you battle for the gym badge, she has that same team, but it's bumped up a few levels. Espeon and Mr. Mime are level 53, and the Alakazam is level 55.
Okay.
And then for the rematch, she has a full team of six. So this is basically Sabrina's canon team. I think it's very similar to her Black 2 and White 2 team. There's a level 60 Alakazam, a level 58 Espeon, a level 56 Mr. Mime, a level 54 Jinx, a level 53 Wobbuffet, and a level 53 Gallade.
Is Wobbuffet psychic?
Yep.
It's a Goofus.
I don't know why. If that feels like it should be a normal type to me, because it's just a punching bag.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a psychic type, because it only learns like five moves.
Right, and they're all blocking moves.
They're mostly all like blocking and counter attacks. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty neat team, though. Gallade's
the male evolution.
Male Frostlass, essentially. Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Thinking of something totally different.
Yeah, he's got feet instead of a dress and like elbow blades.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of Gallade.
I
think he looks weird.
Yeah, I can't picture him off the top of my head. I can picture Gardevoir, but I can't picture.
Kind of like Gardevoir, but with elbow blades and legs instead of a dress.
I don't know. I
like Gardevoir a lot. I'm not a huge fan of Gallade. And that is it. That's all I have for Saffron City. All
right. Any routes afterwards? Or
we're not doing those today. We're going to do those. I don't know. I don't know when we're going to do those. We're going, I think, to Seafoam Islands next, so maybe we'll just throw them in the front of that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's plan for that, because Seafoam Islands aren't going to be
this
big. Let's do our Pokemon Spotlight, then.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Lapras! So, my bad. I forgot to put the poll up until the day before we recorded this. And we had a tie. It was tied. The options were Alakazam, Lapras, Hitmonchan, or Hitmonlee.
Right.
Everybody hates Hitmonchan, I guess.
I guess. I like Hitmonchan.
I do too.
Goofy gloves.
Hitmonlee got 3 votes. There were 19 total, and then the rest were split, 8 and 8.
Oh, I thought it was just one for Hitmonlee, but
no, I had to do the math because Twitter doesn't tell you how many.
Right.
But it was 3 for Hitmonlee, and then 8 and 8 for Alakazam and Lapras. So Lapras won the coin flip.
Okay.
So Alakazam, that whole family will be our second special spotlight.
Yeah,
that we do.
That's a good one. Also, Jonathan said he voted for Alakazam, but you should go Lapras since it's not an evolution chain. Good call.
I had already flipped
the coin
by then. But yes, that is a good...
It fell in the favor. Good reasoning behind it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Lapras.
Let's do it.
Pokemon number 131.
Okay.
It is the transport Pokemon. It's a water ice type. I'm not sure how they get its height. I don't know if it's like flattened out from the tip of the nose to the tail, or if it's...
What's the height? And maybe we can figure it out.
The height
there is
8'2", and I don't think its neck is 8 feet long.
No,
I think it's from head to tail.
Yeah, that's
like
gotta
stretched out.
Yeah, toe to tip.
Kind of like how you would measure a snake.
Right. And you just go up the neck.
Right.
Maybe. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you go like chest to tail and you measure it.
That's horses.
I don't know.
You don't, when you measure a horse, for some reason, you go from the shoulder to the ground and not the head to the ground, which is why Ponyta seems really short.
But they're measuring from
They're measuring from the shoulder down.
Okay. I like that. I don't know. If you guys have any thoughts, let us know. But we'll just say that it's from the head to the tail.
Yeah.
So.
And it weighs 485
Ooh.
Pounds.
That's
it is
a dense
a
boy.
Super heavyweight
yeah.
on WWF No Mercy.
Yes. Four question marks. No, 4 question marks was Crash Holly. It was back to lightweight. 3 question
right.
marks was super heavy.
Well, no, I think Crash Holly had a 400 pounds one.
You're right.
That was actually classified as a cruiserweight.
Yes,
or a
right.
light heavyweight. Excuse.
Yes.
It has 2 abilities and a hidden ability. So it can have Water Absorb, which will heal 1/4 of your HP when it's hit with any water type move, nullifying its damage. So if you get hit
okay.
with like Surf, you just heal as if you use like Recover or something.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
And that's a flat 1/4 HP. It's not equal to any damage that would have been dealt or anything.
It's just like a quarter of the total.
It's like using the move Recover.
I like that.
Except I think Recover might do more than that. I think Recover does half. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It also gets Shell Armor, which prevents critical hits. and its hidden ability is Hydration, which will cure status conditions in the rain. And when I say status conditions, I mean the ones that have symbols, not the ones like Confusion or Attraction or anything.
Right. That one's not very good.
If you make it rain, it's more of a double battle, like a team mentality right. kind of thing. If it's raining, you cure of like poison
but
or
even
paralysis
then,
or anything.
Then you got like it's only helpful if whoever you're fighting is a status attacker or has moves right. that do like you know status effects as an afterthought.
I'd probably pick Shell Armor.
I don't think Hydration, but I don't know how often I'd be fighting a water Pokemon.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone's gonna look at a Lapras and throw a water move at it.
Well, it's
Lapras
ice type.
It's a water ice type.
Oh right, I thought it was just regular.
And
ice.
It's pretty bulky defensively, so. Yeah. You'd just be wasting a water attack on
it. I guess.
Pokedex entries are a little sad. This seems to be a running theme.
Yeah, I vaguely remember what I think is part of Lapras is. So let's go through them.
It is a gentle-hearted creature.
Oh.
That has been hunted to near extinction.
Oh. You know by who? Rockets.
Team Rocket. It's highly intelligent and has the ability to understand the language of humans, and is also thought to be able to read minds, but I don't know if there's any actual confirmation of that in the games, or if that's just like
a 10-year-old
myth.
Yeah.
It enjoys ferrying people and other Pokemon across the water, and on some evenings, it can be heard singing sadly as it seeks out any other of the remaining Lapras in the wild. So it's just looking for friends, but like... It's having a hard time finding.
I don't
some.
Like these entries anymore. They're very sad.
I could not find any actual information, and by could not find, I mean it was not stated in any of the Pokedex entries because I didn't look any harder
sure.
than that. On why they are hunted. I'm assuming it's for their shells or maybe their horns.
Shells, horns, maybe, I don't know, maybe Team Rocket's just greedy and they want to kill them all.
Maybe. It does say that they have a reluctance to fight, which is why they're so easy to capture for hunters.
Right.
It did say the word capture, so I don't know if that just means they're all in captivity.
In captivity? That's worse.
That's a definite Rocket thing to do.
Yeah.
Catch this herd of Lapras and sell them.
Right.
At the game corner.
Or catch a herd of Lapras and just put them in their Pokeballs and put 10 of them in a safe and sell one for a bunch of money because they're all missing.
Right.
I hate the Rockets. I hate them so much.
They're bad dudes. As for locations, you can find them in lakes that are deep inside of caves. There's one in Union Cave in Johto that shows up every Friday.
Right.
And there are some in... There's a cave on one of the Sevii Islands, and then there's some other region in a cave lake. And they have also been spotted in the lake underneath the village bridge in Unova, which I like that one because that is a like direct reference to this is a lake monster.
Right.
Because it's very rare, and you also... It has to be on, like... I don't want to say a shaking spot because that's kind of the fan term for all of the special spots, but it's like a dark circle will pop up on the water.
Right.
For an encounter. And there's a rare chance that that will be a Lapras.
That's nice. I like that. Because it's Loch Ness Monster. It's Nessie.
It is 100% Nessie. Yeah. 95%. I don't think Nessie has a shell.
Nessie does not have a shell. But then again...
I've never seen it.
You know what? I don't think it does because it spends most of its time underwater and not on the water.
Right. And it doesn't transport people because it hides from us.
Yeah.
So
just come out, Nessie. I just want to pet you.
For some trivia, its original name in the Red and Blue beta was Ness, which is an obvious Nessie reference.
Obvious Nessie reference.
Its base stat total of 535 is the highest of any non-legendary or non-mega evolved Pokemon, which actually kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like I knew that recently. It slipped my mind because I've been looking at stats a lot lately for United just to like kind of gauge some stuff. But
yeah,
I like that. I like that it's rare and it's powerful, but it doesn't like to fight.
Right, but it's just like no, just ride me.
It's like hey, let me just take you where you need to go, man.
It loves that. One of the Pokedex entries says it loves ferrying people, which is like just so great.
It's so great.
It is one of the two Pokemon to telepathically speak to humans in the anime, Ralts being the other. So I guess that's confirmation of it being able to read minds.
In another canon.
In a different Pokemon universe. Yeah. It's one of Veronica Taylor's favorite Pokemon. She's the original voice of Ash, and she also did so many other voices. She voices Gary's cheerleaders, Ash's moms. All his moms.
All the moms. All five Ash's moms.
Diglett, and just like a bunch of other just random characters.
Additional voices.
Yeah.
And her favorite is Lapras.
One of her favorites.
One of her favorites is Lapras.
In X and Y, Lapras has its own unique surfing model, as opposed to just the weird black blob that everybody else gets.
Yeah, hey guys, maybe for Sun and Moon, you spend the time, all right?
Yeah.
Maybe if it's too difficult, like a horsey is little, I don't know how I'm surfing on that.
Right.
But like anything bigger than a child, just spend the time. Make the model. You can do it. I believe in you. You're Pokemon.
And then you run into the issue. You send Wailord out to surf, and it takes your whole screen up.
Right. Oh, I love that, though.
That would be goofy, wouldn't it?
I just kind of love Wailords because of how big and dumb they are. They're just so big and so dumb, and they don't know what they're doing.
No. He's like, I'm a giant whale, but I float in the air.
Like, and their face just looks like it sounds like this. Just happy to be there. I like Wailords.
And Lapras can learn the most one-hit KO moves of any Pokemon at 3, being able to learn Sheer Cold, Fissure, and Horn Drill.
Are all those Gen 1 moves, or is that...
Sheer Cold, I don't think, is Gen 1. The other two are.
Okay. Is it Gen 2 moves? Do you know?
Maybe.
Because I definitely...
Sheer Cold definitely existed in Gen 3. I'm not sure after that.
Because I definitely had a Lapras that was loaded to the teeth with murder moves.
Yeah.
That never hit, because they all have like 80%, and that means 10% if you're a person.
No, they have 30%.
Oh, is it 30? 30%
accuracy, and if the Pokemon you're trying to hit is higher level than you, it's 0% accuracy.
Some old bull honky.
Yeah. I did not know that second bit until...
I just learned it.
Relatively recently.
But I definitely loaded one up with, like, all of those moves at some point. I don't think it was in Soul Silver, so it must have been in Gen 2?
I don't know when Sheer Cold came about. It might be a Gen 1 move that I just didn't come across.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You keep going. Let me do some research.
All right, well, all we got left is its origin, which is obviously based on the Loch Ness Monster. And
obviously.
Plesiosaurs in general. Its intelligence and singing ability may come from whales, like the blue whale and the humpback whale.
Right.
And its long neck design may also be inspired by some Viking ships.
Okay.
Its name comes from Laplace, possibly a reference to Pierre-Simon Laplace, who wrote books on the mathematical properties of the sea and tides, which are super, it's like pretty interesting, but also sounds like boring books.
Yeah. No, it's Generation 3. Maybe I didn't have Sheer Cold then.
No, it might have just been Fissure and Horn Drill.
Yeah, and I might have just had two other...
And like Blizzard and Hydro Pump or something.
Probably. That's what it was. I had all 5 PP moves. All of it.
Okay, yeah.
So it was... Because
I think it also learns Thunder.
Maybe?
So...
Good type coverage.
Yeah. Lapras is It's one of my favorite Pokemon as well. He's very cool,
dude. I very like Lapras. That's a sentence.
You very like him?
I very like it.
The name could also come from the French La Place, meaning seat, which would reference sitting on it to ride it across the ocean.
Okay. Or laps, as in what you do in a pool.
And it could also be from Lapis Lazuli for the blue color.
Right. Liza Minnelli, my favorite gem. Liza Minnelli.
That's it. That's all my notes on everything. I'm out of notes. All
right. So we have at least one nickname... I'm going to double check the emails, so let's jump over to our Name Raider segment.
All right.
All right, Josh.
Yo.
We got a couple names on Twitter
that we
found while the music was playing, and then we have the other half.
That's all the time that took.
That's it. Yep, just like 6 seconds, maybe. And then
we come into these super prepared.
Then we got the other half of Sky's List that I remembered also during those six seconds.
That's going to be a speed round?
That's going to be a lightning round. All right.
First up, from Nick Bledsoe on Twitter, is a nickname for a shiny Machamp. Do you know about shiny Machamps?
Are they green?
They are green.
Okay.
This shiny Machamp's name is Dr. Banner.
I like it.
I like it too.
Dr. Banner is the Hulk, for those of you who don't know. Bruce Banner is one of my favorite Marvel characters. Not a lot of people love him, but I do, specifically because of the Son of Hulk run. That's super nerdy. You don't need to know about that. I'm giving this an Ultra Ball.
I think I'm giving it a Great Ball. I think it's good, but I'm not super familiar with the Hulk. So
right.
I don't have that weird attachment to him that you do, I guess.
I very much like Bruce. I like Bruce Banner a lot more than I like the Hulk, but I think this is a very good name, especially for a shiny Machamp who is green.
These are from a little while ago. This next one, we have two from Steph on Twitter as well. This first one is for Slowpoke. Its nickname is Au, because Oh, what's your story, Slowpoke?
Oh, God. Remember that from episode one?
Yeah.
In September? I like that.
I like this one on a lot of levels.
I do. I'll toss another Ultra Ball. I got
plenty. I'm going to Ultra Ball this one, definitely, because it's a reference to the Slowpoke song, which I like a lot.
The Slowpoke song freaks me out a little bit, though.
It's also kind of a reference to our podcast.
Yeah.
Because she has explicitly said that it's our fault that she listens to that song.
Right. And if you just got it out of your head, it's back. Slow. What is your story, Slowpoke?
And her second nickname is for a Growlithe nicknamed Tango.
This is specifically a reference to United.
To Pokemon United for your Growlithe named Bango, and yes, also a reference to its orange color, as in like tangerine.
Right. I really like that as well. Do I want to throw my Master Ball?
I do. I'm going to do that.
You're doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't.
We gotta save one Master Ball.
Save one. So I will give it an Ultra Ball, though. And also, thanks for naming your Pokemon after us. That's an easy win in this podcast.
Yeah, you won't get anything less than a Great Ball if
you
do that.
But also, yeah, I like that because it's orange like a tangerine. Yeah. I like that. I read that a while ago, and I was like, Tango, like, the dance is orange? What am I missing here? But I
went to Army speak, so Tango is tea?
Is tea, yeah.
I don't know. Different people, I guess.
People.
I don't know why. Probably because of Stargate.
Probably. I don't know. Let's hit up the rest of Sky's list. I'm cheating because last time we stopped at a certain place so I could throw a Master Ball this one. So I'm going to say it last.
Okay.
So starting off, we got Tootsie Pop the Hoot Hoot. He's kind of shaped like a Tootsie Pop, and those old commercials have an owl.
Oh, Ultra Ball.
Ultra Ball, for sure, because he looks like...
He looks like that owl. Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl. Not a tree, the Sudowoodo. Not a tree is spelled K-N-O-T. Not a tree. I thought it was going to be a grass type, but was quite wrong.
That's the whole trick with Sudowoodo, man.
Yeah.
I'll Great Ball that one.
I will also Great Ball that one. Fred the Deli Bird, named after Santa's brother, Fred Claus, from the movie Fred Claus. I'm going to go with a Great Ball on that one.
I haven't seen the movie, but so I will also Great Ball that one.
2 a.m. the Spinda. Spinda are very stumbly, so I named him after the time the bar closes. That's an Ultra Ball.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's good.
TikTok the Crocodile, named after the crocodile from Peter Pan. Another Ultra Ball, because I love that movie. These are all, like, layups. Arizona the Siglyph. Sigilyph?
Sigilyph.
Sigilyph. It looks like a thing you'd buy as a souvenir in a gas station on your way out of Arizona.
It's based on the Nazca lines.
Is it?
Yeah. I'll Premier Ball that one.
I'll Great Ball it.
All right.
Because I like the idea of it being a tchotchke. And then Rita and Zed, the Nido Queen and Nido King. Ultra Balls.
Ultra Ball.
Ultra Balls.
Oh,
from us.
You figured us out.
Yep. Also, I've said this many times. We can hang with Sky. Like,
oh, yeah.
For sure. And we will soon. Spoilers for maybe Pokemon World Tour United. Maybe it's a mystery. Maybe it's...
Well, not now.
Who knows what could happen? There's no way of checking what I just said, so it could be anything. This is live, right? This goes out live? I know it doesn't because I edit them. That's a dumb bad joke. So Tokusatsu the Barbarical. This pocket monster looks 100% like a Super Sentai monster.
It definitely does.
I will give that an Ultra Ball.
Yeah, me too.
Well. Actually, you know what? I can't because I actually don't know what it looks like off the top of my head, so I'm refraining from it. So you're giving me an Ultra Ball. I am abstaining.
Yeah, it is the most Power Rangers monster looking Pokemon I think that there is.
Nice. Zordon the Spiritomb. A Spiritomb is basically a stationary floating face, just like a certain fellow caught in time warp. I'm going to give that one an Ultra Ball.
I'll Great Ball that one. I see the whole floating head motif.
Oh, God. Shut up.
But Spiritomb does not scream Zordon at me.
Does he try to kill his trainers or anyone else around him very often?
Maybe. He is a ghost type.
Because that's what Zordon does. Bubblegum the Ditto. That's pretty great. I'll give that a Great Ball.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one a lot. That's an Ultra Ball from me.
Link, the Octillery. Octillery looks exactly like Octorok from The Legend of Zelda. I'm going to go with the Premier Ball.
Yeah, I don't know if I like naming it Link.
I would have called it Octorok. Or I would have called it Dr. Octor Octavius, if that would fit. I don't think it would fit.
I don't think so.
What'd you go with? You didn't...
Premier Ball. Okay.
Serta the Spoink, named after a spring mattress company.
Ultra Ball, because I am a soft touch for Spoink.
I'm going to go with Great Ball. I don't want to give. I feel like I'm being a little too easy on you, Sky, just because these are all very good. And then finally, Blofeld the Persian, named after the Bond villain with a cat. I consider Giovanni on par with Bond villains as Persian as a signature Pokemon. It fits. I'm giving that my Master Ball because I super love the James Bond series.
I don't love James Bond. I'll give that a great ball, though. It's pretty great.
All right. And that's it for names. All right. And with our name rating segment done, we got a couple more. We're going to save those for next time. We're going to head on over to a real quick fan interaction segment. Okay, so we got a couple things. First of all, Free Comic Book Day was this last Saturday. I did not manage to get out to it.
I was at work, and then I just had zine stuff to do, so I did not get to a comic book
I was shop. At work, and then I had sailor business to take care of, so right. I had to do that. But there was a Pokemon free comic called Pocket Comics, Pokemon Pocket Comics, Legendary Pokemon. That looks very clip-arty to me.
That does. That is very, like, original Pokemon Trainer's Handbook, yeah, Player's Guide.
It's got Meowth, Oshawott, and Whismur on the front, and also, who are these guys?
Hang on.
Kyuriu Ruger?
Yeah, this is Kyuriu Black and Kyuriu White.
Okay.
It's Kyurem.
All right.
Kyurem Black and Kyurem White.
Apparently, there's just a lot of, like, little cute mini comics, according to Shannon. She got it. You might be able to go back to your local comic shop if you have one and see if they still have any. I don't know what they do with the free comics when they're done with them, but, I mean, if you're looking for it, start there, because people think comic books are worth something, so they, like, jack the prices up on eBay. But here's a spoiler this is insider secret information. They're only worth the cover price. And if the cover price is free, it's worth $0. You're not sending your kids to college on comic books. Sorry. The 90s are over. Then we also got this a thing from Jonathan. Let me see if I can find it. It's a cookbook.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the cookbook.
Yeah, it's just like a cookbook on how to make food that looks like Pokemon.
Yeah, it's Pokemon-themed cookbook, not cooking Pokemon.
That's what I swear to God, I didn't look into it, I just saw it, and I said, oh, someone made a cookbook about how to cook some sweet, sweet Slowpoke tail, how to fire up those Magikarp real nice.
Step one, chop off the Slowpoke tail. Step two, fry it in a skillet. Step three, consume the Slowpoke tail that costs you 1 million Pokédollars.
Or you could bake it.
Slow cook it. Slow cook Slowpoke tail.
Oh, that's probably the sweetest.
It just falls off the tailbone.
So good. Just falls off the poke.
The tailbone that you can see in the art for the item.
Gross.
Just gross.
But if in a link to the article, it's on Crunchyroll.com, which is like an anime streaming service.
It is. It's like anime Netflix, kind of.
Yeah. So it's a website exclusively for nerds.
That's SWAT cats on it.
It has SWAT cats on it?
It has SWAT cats on it. And it's free.
I thought it was a subscription.
There's an ad-free subscription.
Oh.
But if you can watch it for free as well. It might also have more stuff if you subscribe, but SWAT cats is on the free one. So.
Regular, like old SWAT cats, or is there a new SWAT
cats? Old-ass SWAT cats.
Dang.
Yeah.
I love me some SWAT cats.
SWAT cats is pretty cool.
Anyway,
they come
yeah.
They out of a pizza.
They're just, like, you know, some Pikachu, looking sushi, I guess. So I imagine there's a lot of different faces and stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's a sweet recipe for some delicious jelly donuts.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That would be nice of them to do that.
That jelly donuts joke is one of my favorite from the anime, sorry if I run that into the dirt.
It's
but
not
I will
a
say
joke,
all.
Though. They did that on. They did that
it's
seriously.
A joke about the anime.
Yeah, the joke about. Because, like, in the anime, they just, like, tried to hide it in the worst.
It's very clearly a yeah. rice ball.
Other than that, we got some cool fan art for World Tour United. We got some from Sky. It's a lot of Cobalt. A lot featuring Cobalt. There's him high-fiving Private Psy. There's him whipping a Pokeball at Butterfree's face as hard as he can from, like, 4 feet away.
He gave Treble a headache.
You
and
sent Treble into battle.
He did not have to give him a headache.
What did you expect?
I mean, just like a fight, but you don't have to attack his brain from the inside. He deserved that.
You would have reacted.
Deserve that Pokeball.
You would have
in the face.
Reacted the and same now, way regardless of what this Pokemon did.
Now she's kind of the cornerstone of my team. So
for now, till you get rid of her. I assume everyone just gets rid of their Butterfreeze at some point. That's what
it has to
dominate.
Mate, so I have to release it.
I think that might be it. Oh, also, Shannon, our friend Shannon, did some fan art of couple characters, Billy and Bonnie. They appeared in episode 3.
They will be back, if I had to guess.
If I had to guess, they will be reoccurring. But yeah, she did some real good fan art of that. If you guys want to do any fan art of anything, even if just stuff we talk about on this show, on the regular, on the main show, just send it to us. We love that.
Yeah.
We eat it up like candy, like good candy, like that Dove candy.
Like that rare candy.
Rare candy, yeah. That's all I got, though, for interactions.
Yeah, we should cut it because the cicadas are starting to come out.
The cicadas have bloomed. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us online at PWT Podcast on Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook. And I'm going to be honest with you up front, pretty much just Twitter is the place to go right now.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's the only place. I got some ideas for Facebook, but we need to like figure some stuff out first. And then Tumblr is just on Josh whenever he decides to update it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, do you. You can also email us, pwtpodcast@gmail.com. That's a good thing to do. You should email us with your thoughts and your...
We'll talk about them.
Yeah, if you got Pokemon names, if you got any fan theories of places we're going to be or places we've been, we haven't really got into that a lot. I want to do a whole, like, fan theory episode at some point because I love Pokemon fan theories.
Yeah.
Not the weird ones, not the creepy, gross ones, but...
No. I do want to know what some theories about that truck are, other than a Muse under it.
Right.
Like...
What's it doing? What's the only truck in the world doing here?
No, there's more. There's a moving truck.
Later, in there's Gen 3. But at the time, there was just the one.
Which drove you there, because Hoenn is like an island, but you moved there from another region in a truck.
In the back. You had to sit in the back with your TV or whatever.
What's your theory on why your mother hates you
and puts you in the back
Ruby,
of the
Sapphire,
truck?
And Emerald?
Also, if you have anything else that you want to send us, again, like fan art, any of that, send it on in. Send it on in to us. We love it.
It doesn't have to be fan art about the show. If you drew a Pokemon, send that to us, and we will show it to the world.
Yeah,
we'll love that.
We'll put it up on Twitter, and we'll tag you in it. Yeah. Or just retweet you or whatever, because, like, yeah, dude, we love it. We love all that. We are monsters for that kind of thing. We got another side show. It's every other week. You may have noticed... Pokemon World Tour United goes up. That's the role-playing game that we play. Josh and I and our friend Alan play, he DMs it. We play the Pokemon Tabletop United role-playing system, which I guess is going to get an update soon because there's a game coming up.
Oh, that game comes out on November 18th. I don't know if we said that.
We did not say it. It has an official date, though.
Yeah, November 18th. So take that day off of work, play Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what we'll be doing. So. I'll take that day off work, yeah. But if you want to get in on that, if you want to play with us, send us an email, pwtpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll try to figure it out if it works, if the scheduling works, if it's a good fit, because I want the United part of Pokemon World Tour United to not just be a play on the system we use. I want it to be real thing where, like, let's all get together, let's have fun. We've already played a couple games with a special guest. I don't know if I want to reveal it just yet because it's like in the future.
It's like 4 episodes from where we are. 3?
Just 2. There's 2 more, and then there's the start of those. But they've been super fun so far, and then, like I may have alluded to earlier, who knows, though, we might have another one coming on. If you are a patron, this is very important. If you are at the gym leader or above level, you have priority. You're front of the line. If you are a patron at all, you're second of the line, wherever the first one stopped. And if you're just anybody after that, you're after them. There's no other order. First come, first serve after that. My little brother has expressed interest in playing, so I would really like to do that.
I'd like to get him on.
Play for him, a little bro. So, yeah, it's very fun. Come join us. And take a if you haven't listened to it yet, maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, I think it's fun. We have fun doing it, so I think that comes across.
Yes. Tons of fun doing it. So then, the only other stuff we got, we're on iTunes, if you want to leave us a rating review. We're on Google Play, but it's a mess over there right now, so like
we are technically on
we are in name only on Google Play. We're not like super invested in it right now because it's just a weird place, but please leave us a rating review. We got our first 1-star rating, so we've made it.
We saw that random buddy who wouldn't leave a review because you're scared.
Yeah, hey man, we want to know why you don't like us,
right? Maybe we can fix it. Tell us.
Yeah, or this just isn't something you're into, in which case it's easier to not leave a rating. Just think about that in the future. but yeah, so we got one. So someone doesn't like us, so we've made it. That's yep. that's the metric.
You don't make it until someone hates your stuff.
So if you want to like kind of help even that out, head on over and give us your honest rating and a review. We like reviews. We like reading what you have to say about this. So like also consider doing that.
And we're on Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. Kick a couple bucks our way and get some cool stuff in return. You guys know the deal by now. I'm not going to run down the whole thing.
We're starting up the Spotlight Pokemon episodes this month. They're going to be on Patreon for like a month and then come into the main feed. Is that?
That sounds fine to me.
Okay.
This is how we started the anime one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, our theme music is the Destiny Infinite off the OC Remix album, the EVEP. The song is by Darkchord. That's DarkeSword. You can follow him on Twitter and go buy his stuff if that's an option. Just give me your money. I love the song so much. I think it's a great song.
And all the other kicking tunes are from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes with, I'm pretty sure, all the Pokemon soundtracks down to Leaf Green.
Yeah.
Red and Blue might have come out.
Not on for Pokemon 20? Probably.
Yeah.
So if you're super into those weird 8-bit ones, that Lavender Town theme does not sound any better than it did on Red.
Like, no.
Like that literally, like, because the Fire Red Leaf Green one is pretty good. It's still like 8-bit, like chiptune-y, but it's like bare bones creepy on Red and Blue.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite version of it. Yeah, go check those out. Go spend your money on more Pokemon stuff. Do that. Also, sometimes we use Scoutines? We do this every time. Scoutines.
Scoutine.
The Kanto Reorchestrated. Kanto Symphony Reorchestrated?
Pokemon Reorchestrated Kanto Symphony.
Okay, that. So go buy that too. And that's it. So next week, episode 4 of Pokemon World Tour United goes up. And the week after that, we'll be at the Seafoam Islands. I'm very excited. Those places are mysterious.
Yeah.
But until then, smell you later.